Please be seated. Did we in our own strength confide our striving would be losing? We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Come down, Zacchaeus. I can barely make you out up there in the sycamore tree, up in the balcony, out on the radio waves. I don't quite see you. Are you up the doubting tree or in the idolatrous tree, the idolatry, or on the wealth tree or up the religion tree? Come down, Zacchaeus, and hear the good news. This is the gospel, pure. Jesus invites us into loving relationship with himself, and thereby and there through into loving relationship with our neighbor. May we measure all by love. Is that you up the doubting tree? Come down a branch. You have every right and perhaps good reason to be on that branch. If part of your doubt is caused by the hurt of unexplained wrong, there is no denying the random nature of life. Over 15 billion years within creation and 100,000 years of hominid experience, we know full well about the random and the way bad things happen to good people in inexplicable, unexplainable ways. Is that why you are up the doubting tree? But let me invite you for a branch at least to doubt some of your doubts. This, by the way, is not a theological declamation herein, nor a paean hymn of praise to Providence. Far from it. We preach human freedom from this pulpit. And yet, we observe that a wrong in the little can sometimes prevent a wrong in the large. One day we went to play golf mistakenly. I seized the 3-wood for a short shot, and the ball dribbled out along the ground. Good thing, because with a full stroke, it would have gone through a $1,000 plate glass window in the clubhouse ahead. A little wrong in the small, a good prevention in the large. Or one day some years ago for the 8:30 service, the sermon was prepared and rehearsed, jogging early along the canal, and time went by. I lost the time. Came back, and I knew I was late, and I had to hurry, and I drove, and I cut some corners, literally cutting one corner over the curb, pulled into the parking lot with a flat tire to the right rear. But you know, those tires I knew were thin. I should have replaced them earlier. Better that I had that at 20 miles an hour on a tree-lined street than at 70 miles an hour on the highway, which brings us to you and your story of Joseph, he who had the misfortune of being the favorite son, the coat of many colors. His brothers, Reuben and Zebulun and Naphtali and all, threw him in a pit, leaving him dead or for dead. But along came the caravan from Egypt. They put Joseph in the last chariot, and off he went for a generation, 30 years, to become over time the chancellor of the exchequer in the breadbasket of the Middle East, the treasurer. He couldn't be stopped even when Potiphar's wife chased him around in his underwear. And then out of Palestine came his brothers saying, what? Famine, hunger, feed us, and knocked at the door. And who greeted them? Your Joseph. And what did Joseph say? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that through one many might be saved. Sometimes hurt in one generation prevents full starvation in the next generation. And here we are today in Jericho. You miss the parable if you don't hear the hurt. Jesus attends, gives divine attention to one who stands against the purpose and the mission of the church of the people of God. He listens to Zacchaeus. Would you come down just a step, Zacchaeus, just a branch for a moment? Zacchaeus stands for what Jesus' disciples opposed, and yet this is a hard hurt. Jesus determines to sup with him. Hear the pure gospel. Jesus invites you into loving relationship with himself, and thereby and therethrough into loving relationship with others. That is, that conversion of Zacchaeus provided fourfold resource, quadruple tithing, benefit, and help in the unforeseen future. We are in a season, an autumnal season, that completes a year-long season of malaise and difficulty in the demise of parts of our culture. And it is easy, if you will, to be swamped with anxiety and depression. But don't you know, sometimes this is not a theological argument, nor is it a pay-in to providence. It's just what we observe in experience, that sometimes a little difficulty along the way now provides an opening we don't see yet for later. That it may be that some women and men along the trail of American experience in this year will find a way to summon courage and to work in a new, fuller measure for a just culture, a participatory culture, a sustainable culture and society. Come down, Zacchaeus. I can't make you out up there. Or maybe you're up the idolatrous tree, the idolatry. You know that when we mistake the one great loyalty of our lives, the centering of our experience in the divine presence, for lesser loyalties, when lesser loyalties occlude and shadow the one great loyalty, then we step into and fall into idolatry. Zacchaeus has many responsibilities and loyalties, but he lacks the central one. He lacks the keystone in the arch. He lacks the one that would make the others last and make sense. He has responsibility and relationship at home and in the hearth. He has responsibility and relationship in community and leadership in society. He has a governmental role. He's a tax collector. Someone needs to take up the taxes, but he misses the one central loyalty, what the soul owes to God, the sense of the divine presence, a stillness, if you will, and up the tree he goes. I can see you up there. It would help if you'd come down just a mite. You know, last Sunday, do you remember, we asked forgiveness for the seven deadly sins: lust, gluttony, avarice, sloth, anger, envy, and integrity without humility. Pride is integrity without humility. When you lurch forth like a good Boy Scout, knowing the law, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, all full of integrity, but lack even a tiny measure of humility, pride is integrity without humility, then you run a terrible risk of doing lasting harm. Then in all of your integrity, you blow past, bulldoze over, blaze through the humility in the Scout motto, good turn daily. And you lay aside due process, and you lay aside honored practice and experience, the way things are done, and you lay aside the advice and counsel of your supervisors, and you lay aside the nuance of your conscience, which warns against integrity without humility. Come down, Zacchaeus. Come down and take on and receive the gift of faith and share in a common dream. We harbor a common dream. A common dream that our world, beset by warming and climate change, will be cooled by cooler minds and calmer perspectives and hearts. We harbor a common dream, a dream that this world at daggers drawn with nuclear weapons near and far, will continue to find a way toward peace and détente. We harbor a common dream that this great land, the land of the free and the home of the brave, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, will find a way out of the morass of our current cultural distress and sing the song and hear the tune and tell the story of the better angels of our nature. We harbor a common dream, a shared central dream together, that this country fractured by separation of rich children and poor children, children in Greenwich, Connecticut, and children in Onega, Kansas, separated by a lack of free and full education, free and full health care, free and full across gender difference capacity for election and selection, will over time give way to that just and participatory and sustainable society that is our common hope. We harbor a common dream that universities, schools, and colleges, including our very own, will sustain a balance between a love of learning and a sense of meaning, the pursuit of knowledge and a regard for goodness, the thrill of discovery, but also a capacity for recovery of what makes and keeps human life human. We have a common dream that through all of our difficulty this year, we will find our way to the family Thanksgiving table and pass the potatoes and carve the turkey and cut the pie and be able, even if grudgingly, to offer one another kindness and pity and words of love. And we have a common dream. We harbor a common dream, not just of this world, but of this world as a foundation and formation for a world to come that is not just of life, but of eternal life, not just of earth, but of heaven, not just of health, but of salvation, not just of creation, but of new creation. Come down a bit, Zacchaeus. Receive the gift. It's a gift always of faith. And banish the idolatrous from the idolatry. Or maybe I was mistaken. Maybe that's you up the wealth tree. Zacchaeus was wealthy. If nothing else, we know that Luke's church wrestled with issues of wealth. Remember, the parable comes to us written, not spoken, in Greek, not Aramaic, from Luke, not Jesus, to the Mediterranean basin, not to Palestine. He's speaking of a church like many over the next several centuries, struggling to make of community something that is more than endless contention and intractable difference, struggling with the wealth that makes a way forward possible. Every one of us in this room, without exception, by global and historical measures, is wealthy. We are like Zacchaeus in that way. And Luke's church found a way forward, teaching by precept and example, a capacity for ongoing generosity. One said to me, I wish earlier in life I had learned the thrill and joy of giving. No one benefits more in giving than the giver, and in this season of giving, and we as the giver, we encourage you to keep before you the least and the last and the lost, those at the dawn of life, those in the twilight of life, and those in the shadows of life. Come down, Zacchaeus. It turned out to be our last autumn in seminary in 1978. We thought we'd have another half year and maybe a year, but due to illness, we left New York City in the winter. That Thanksgiving of 1978, we lived along the Hudson, not the Charles, and walked Riverside Park, not the Esplanade, and studied not at Boston University, but Union Seminary. The day after Thanksgiving, Jan left early for shopping. I had worked night by night as a security guard to pay the bills, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and promptly went to sleep at 7 a.m. She left the door ajar, and in came at noon one of New York's street people, and I woke up to find her staring down at me, shaking her rosary beads and saying something unintelligible. And yes, did I shriek, and yes, did I run down the stairs. With three of New York's finest, we came up later to find her taking a bath, and they said, let her enjoy it. Off she went. That's not a theological declamation or a pain to Providence. It's an observation that for us, that one moment was an ongoing omen that in ministry and service in the years to come, we ought to keep before us those most in need. May it be so. Come on down from that wealth tree, Zacchaeus, and take on the happy, joyful practice of tithing. Or maybe on this Reformation Sunday, you realize you are up the religion tree. Religion is a good thing, especially when it's not just the form, but the power of it that we know. Zacchaeus had the former, but not the latter. Come down, if you will, Zacchaeus. All the religious apparatus in the world is no substitute for loving relationship. All of the theological acumen in the world is no substitute for loving relationship. All of the philosophical acuity one can muster is no substitute for loving relationship. All of the art and talent in the world, we're in the grace business, not the talent business, is no substitute for loving relationship. All of the musical beauty in the world, vocal and choral and orchestral, is no substitute for loving relationship. Come on down. Here is the gospel. Someone stops you at Wegmans this week and says, did you go to Marsh Chapel and what did you hear? May you be able to say, I heard the gospel and now I am living it day by day. Jesus invites us to loving relationship with himself and through him and through all to loving relationship with our neighbor, which, yes, brings to mind Martin Luther standing at the door of the Wittenberg Church, nailing upon it his 95 theses in 1517, now almost exactly 500 years ago, and later famously saying, here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. And what did he say? Sola fide, by faith alone, by grace you are saved through faith, not by the works of the law. Crux sola nostra theologia, the cross alone is our theology. He said it so clearly that a middle-aged Anglican priest on a rainy night in May 1738 along Aldersgate Street in London, going unwillingly to churches, sometimes we do, heard Romans 8 read and Martin Luther's commentary upon Romans 8. And Mr. John Wesley, I am one of his preachers. Mr. John Wesley felt his own heart strangely warm that the gospel, to receive the gospel is a personal receipt of a personal gift. That this was meant not just for others, but for me. Here is an old, ostensibly humorous little story. I say ostensibly because you may not find it humorous at all. A man goes to the pearly gates. He faces St. Peter, who says, let's check you out. Tell me about the good in life. What have you done? And the man says, well, it takes 100 points to get in, says St. Peter. He says, I led a Pinewood Derby once. Good, he says, 1 point, says Peter. Well, what else? Well, one snowy winter, I shoveled my neighbor's walk, and Peter says, 1 point, that's good for you. He said, anything else? He said, well, I used to listen to Marsh Chapel on the radio broadcast once a month or so. And Peter says, good, 1 point. And the man bows his chin and says, you know, I'm never going to make it to 100 points. That's about all I've got. I wouldn't get in except by the grace of God. And St. Peter says, grace of God, 97 points. You are in. Jesus invites us in a spirit of love, and may the sermons of this year be in a spirit of love, into loving relationship with himself, and through himself, into loving relationship with our neighbors. Haec dixit Dominus, thus saith the Lord. Zacchaeus, Come down from that doubting tree. Zacchaeus, come down from that idolatry. Zacchaeus, come down from that wealth tree. Zacchaeus, come down from that religion tree and receive the gift, the life-changing, everlasting gift of faith. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. Come down, Zacchaeus, come down.